Good afternoon, everyone. This is Mal Belairs, and I come to you with my usual goosebumps on the Sunday before Christmas. This is the 21st consecutive year that I have been privileged to sit here, to join you, to go with you wherever you go on this particular day, and to bring you wishes from all of us. A Merry Christmas to you, a Holy Christmas to each of you. From your friends at WIVS and WXRD, all of us who work in front of the microphones, and those who work behind, from all the sponsors who make our work not only possible but pleasant, this is our Christmas present for you. This is when you cannot really see, you can't really wear it, you can't even see it, you can't eat it, you can only feel it and experience it. This is the music of a birthday party, the happy music, the music of Christmas. The music of Christmas is tiny silver bells. The music of Christmas is Handel. It's the Messiah. It's great choral groups and tiny, tiny flutes. My desire this afternoon will be to bring you up through time, from the earliest known Christmas carol, up through ages and up through cultures, up through different lands. The land that's warm at Christmas season, the land that's cold at Christmas season. I think more than anything, this program was begun by a Christmas card I received many years ago, which stated quite simply the following words. Religion is the bond of love encircling the earth and binding the world to the heart of God. I added the line, the music of Christmas is the expression of that love. Christmas Story, according to St. Luke and St. Matthew. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she would be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that had heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Christmas is a spontaneous drama, a drama of the common folk, a prayer, a hymn. All the while that Raphael was painting the Sistine Madonna, Frenchmen building the Cathedral of Chartres, English bishops composing the Book of Common Prayer, Handel his Messiah, Bach his B minor Mass, the common people out of whom these geniuses sprang were composing Christmas. They composed it slowly, taking years, even centuries, to complete the task. St. Nicholas, for example, was a bishop in Asia Minor in the 4th century. In the Middle Ages, a towering folk legend evolved which credited him with saving sailors in distress and providing dowries for marriageable maidens. It was not until the 17th century when the Dutch who settled New Amsterdam corrupted his name, St. Nicholas, to Sint Klaas, to Santa Claus, that he grew into his present role. The people composed Christmas as an expression of religious devotion and secular pageantry. It is a work that has never ended. It proceeds as vigorously today as it did 1,000 years ago. Today we just celebrate this great Christmas pageant that all began back here.
In swaddling clothes, in a manger.
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth.
Now let's go back in time and pick up the first known Christmas carol. We will move up through those ages now for a little while. I'll tell you when we'll start working on certain specific countries. And may I suggest, if you have friends who have ethnic roots almost anywhere around the world, it might not be a bad idea to call them and tell them to tune this radio station in. We are actually two, WIVS in Crystal Lake. It's 85 on your AM dial. And it's 105 FM for those who are in about a 30 or 40 mile radius of the Woodstock area. We'd love to have you listening. And you know, the only thing I ask, and I do ask this of you, I hope to take the census here on this Sunday each year. Many of you are old and very dear friends. Some of you are new. But I do appreciate a card from you somewhere in the next week or two. One of your Christmas cards would do nicely, or a note. How are you? What are you doing? How's the family? What's going on? It's my way of keeping in touch with many of you who are deep, deep friends of ours. The earliest known Christmas carol. It is said that a bishop of Rome, Bishop Telesphorus, approved of this particular song, and it was sung in the year 129 AD. It was sung on the way to midnight mass. And so, in the history of the music of Christmas, becomes the first Christmas carol. Christianity came out of, well, we all know, Bethlehem and the area around the Mediterranean. It began to branch out, to move. Men who had known Jesus began to speak of this great and wonderful man, began to speak of the things that he had done. The early popes were very intelligent. They found in Northern Europe and they found on the islands of England and Ireland religion in many different forms already moving along. And one pope, Pope Gregory, 597 A.D., wrote a letter, which I'd like to read for you today. He said, "I have, upon mature deliberation on the affair of the English, determined upon that the temples of the idols in that nation ought not to be destroyed, but let the idols that are in them be destroyed. Let holy water be made and sprinkled in the said temples. Let altars be erected and relics placed. For if those temples are well built, it is requisite that they be converted from the worship of devils to the service of the true God, that the nation, seeing that their temples are not destroyed, may remove error from their hearts, and knowing and adoring the true God, may the more familiarly resort to the places to which they have been accustomed. For there is no doubt that it is impossible to efface everything at once from their obdurate minds, because he who endeavors to ascend to the highest place rises by degrees or steps and not by leaps." So many of the old idols were accepted. For example, holly. There was a song about holly. Ivy had a particular significance. Holly was known in Rome and came into its own in England. Some consider it the most sacred of the greens. Of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. The red berries were then meant to represent the blood of Jesus, and a holly in the window meant Christian worship. Others say that depending on whether he holly or she holly is first brought into the house, the master or the mistress will rule the home for the coming year, and holly beside the bed on Christmas Eve will protect a maiden from goblins. Holly in the window will keep evil spirits away from the house. Ivy, for some reason, had an evil connotation of old and was only used out of doors. One of the early songs that I have always enjoyed is The Holly and the Ivy, and particularly this arrangement, because it's done by the Paulist Choir of Chicago, with the late Father O'Malley conducting. There are some of you in the audience who have undoubtedly had children who came up through the group known as the Paulist Choristers. They were really quite magnificent, and Father O'Malley, who once himself served as a boy choir in the Paulist Choir, has been its conductor since 1928. Oh, my. The Holly and the Ivy. One of the most beautiful of the Christmas carols is O Come Emmanuel, a Gregorian chant, although that's not exactly the arrangement I brought for you this afternoon. It was sung on December the 17th and each night until Christmas. It is traceable back to the 9th century, the whole series known as the Seven O's, since each invocation looks forward to the coming of Christmas.
Rejoice!
about 400 A.D., after long suspense and mounting pressure, an ancient and enormous dam broke. The waters of the Christian spirit gushed into dry pagan channels, filling them with new energy and reviving much of the moribund life along their banks. Again and again, then and thereafter, we see the pagan philosophical ideas, aesthetic patterns, imaginative symbols, and social and religious customs taken over by Christianity, rededicated, and without destruction, transformed. As Pope Gregory had written, it could be done, slowly and easily, the good preserved and not destroyed. Here is a Gregorian chant from about 600 A.D., when Pope Gregory himself had the magnificent liturgical music of the time collected. Jerusalem, rejoice! There shall come unto thee a Savior.
Confitebor tibi, Domini, in toto corde meo.
In concilio iussorum et congregatione.
Magna opera Domini.
Exquisita in omnes voluntates eius.
Gloria Patri et Filio.
Et Spiritui Sancto.
Sic ut erat in principio et nunc et semper,
et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Jerusalem, caudete Deo magno, qui habeni et tibi salvator
It's very interesting to note that some of the songs of Christmas are quite confusing, the history. I have done quite a bit of research on this subject over better than 20 years now. And one of the songs that no one seems to agree on is Good King Wenceslas. Some say this is a Swedish king, and some say he was German. But they all agree that it's the story of a good king who went out on the feast of Stephen.
Thank you.
So the changes began to appear all across the known world. The Saturnalia, embracing the winter solstice, honored the god Saturn, the sower, and hopefully extolled the coming of a new crop season. It was a time of feasting and games, of license and lavish display indoors and out. People reveled in the streets. Masters and slaves mingled at sumptuous banquets. The masters waited on the slaves, and over all reigned a lord of misrule, who indulged his fancies, however bizarre, for 30 days and then committed suicide. The Christians detested all of this. Early Christmas ceremonies were starkly simple, and to this day the southern European countries, where Christianity first appeared in its purest form, observe Christmas primarily as a religious festival. And oh, the gorgeous music. For example, this Gregorian chant, sung at Vespers on Christmas Day. There's an interesting story. This is a 14th century song, so we've just all of a sudden moved up 300 or 400 years. But back in those days, what's another 100 years? A 14th century Dominican priest, Henry Susso, heard a carol in a dream. The angel sang it to him, half in German and half in Latin. The song is preserved, and we know it as Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Assinaria festa. gentis partibus adventavit asinus, pulperet fortissimus, asinis aptissimus, ei Cyrenes,
ei Cyrenes, hic in calibus sicem jam nutritus subrobem, transidit per Jordanem, salidit in Bethlehem, Cyrenes, Cyrenes,
saltu vincit in nullos, Damas et Capreos, super dromedarios, velox Madianeos, Cyrenes,
Cyrenes,
Aurum de Arabia, tus et miram de Saba, tulit in ecclesia, virtus assinaria, Cyrenes,
Cyrenes, Tum tradit pedicula, multa cum sarsitola, Irinus mandibula, dura tedit fabula, Cyrenes,
Cyrenes, cum aristis ordeum, comedit et caduum, priticum appalea, segregat in area, Cyrenes,
Cyrenes, amen dicas assassine, jam sartur extramine, amen, amen itera, asperare vetera, Cyrenes, Cyrenes,
There were songs of joy for Christmas long before there were Christmas carols in the modern sense. The round dance called carol had existed probably for many centuries before its name was used for songs, whether for Christmas or other times, which had verses and a recurring chorus. Holy and unholy songs of this form existed throughout the Middle Ages in many parts of Europe, but it was only in England that they were called carols. Many pre-carol Christmas songs were made by the early medieval technique of farcing, in its original sense of filling out or stuffing the regular worship of the festive season, which ran from Christmas Eve to the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th. On New Year's Day, it was the subdeacons, the upper teenagers of clerical society, who farced the services with festive processions and songs. The degree of freedom given to younger clerics at this season suggests some compromise with ancient secular and ultimately pagan midwinter feasting. Particularly touched by several of these songs because one mentions a Richard de Ledrede, L-E-D-R-E-D-E, a 14th century bishop of the Irish Diocese of Ossory, whose cathedral is Kilkenny. And I have been in that cathedral, and I can't help but touch these songs without thinking of Kilkenny in the 14th century. Anyway, the bishop gave his singers in the cathedral new holy poems to replace the words, though not necessarily the tunes, of the profane songs that they sang in their hall on certain festivals. The Danced Carol was originally completely non-religious. Medieval carol poems were written on profane themes such as love, drinking, and politics, as well as on subjects suitable for church holy days. And here is one. Ah, the pipes. Yes, they appear all through religious Christmas music. Now let's move forward. Incidentally, this next song is one that has a labor management connotation. The pageant of the shearmen and tailors at Coventry, England in the year 1591 was a sad carol. It was sung by the Bethlehem women just prior to the slaughter of the innocents by Herod's soldiers, and it is one of the best known and most beloved of all Christmas carols, the Coventry Carol. During this first part of our salute to the music of Christmas, we have been moving up through time, through almost 1,400 years of time. During this time, Christianity spread out through Europe and became entrenched. It was about the 1,400 period that the music began to bring out nationalistic characteristics, and now we're going to move into different countries for the next several hours. I think we'll start with France. Middle Europe, deeply religious, beautiful old carols, most of which in this next half hour will be definitely from France, although in some instances it's not quite possible to tell. Let's begin with the first Noel. This is a 16th century shepherd's carol. Some, on the other hand, say it's much older than that. But it is French, and of course derives from the Catholic Latin. Next, the Angel Gabriel. This carol was sung by Basque shepherds and fishermen who speak an ancient, curious language of their own. The lyrics poetically paraphrase the story of the Annunciation. In this English translation, Gabriel comes with wings as drifted snow.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, thou lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
For known a blessed mother thou shalt be, all generations laud and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel by seers foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
Of her Emmanuel the Christ was born, in Bethlehem on a Christmas morn. The Christian folk throughout the world will ever say, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
Sing We Now of Christmas is a traditional French carol, probably dating back to around the 15th century. It was certainly well known by the 16th because it is mentioned in Rabelais' Pantagruel. The richly oriental effect of its arrangement, this is an effect achieved by oboe, brass, and timpani, was chosen because the carol is the only one of the entire group that refers to the wise men who come to the child Jesus from out of the East.
Sing, oh sing, sing. Sing, Noel, sing, Noel, sing. Sing,
we know of Christmas, Noel, sing we hear.
We are in France at the present moment. This is WIVS AM in Crystal Lake and WXRD FM in Woodstock. My name is Mal Belairs, and this is our Christmas card, the one that we send to all of you with much love every year on the Sunday before Christmas. I'm very glad you're with us. I wish the whole world could hear this particular program. All of our sponsors and all of us at the radio stations bring you this program. We bring it to you in a completely uninterrupted form from 12:05 in the afternoon until 4:15 in the afternoon. We could never cover all the music in one afternoon, but we fill the hours, believe me. And we've been doing this for a long time, a program that just began in 1955. This makes it the 21st annual program without a break. Please, God, may I continue to do it for many years more. I really love this Sunday. We're in France right now, and I think one of my favorite carols, I've always been partial to Joseph. I always figured he had a pretty hard time of it, being asked to understand things that were absolutely non-understandable from a human being's point of view. This is a carol, Joseph est bien marié. Joseph is well married. One of few carols that points out the peculiar role of Joseph. Certainly is true that many of the most beautiful carols, the ones that we know so well, have roots in France. Here is another one, Il est né le divin enfant.
Thank you.
Here's one we'll all recognize, Brother John's Noel. It's a clever contrapuntal Noel de Bresse, reviving the popular French air Frère Jacques to give us a gay Christmas song in which happy youngsters eagerly awake each other in anticipation of the Procession de Noël in the French choral arrangement. It's beautiful. Listen. Music of France, where we are right now, Brother John's Noel. Ah, now, here is a carol, Cantique de Noël. Adolphe Charles Adams, who wrote the score for the Ballet Giselle, wrote this in the 1800s. It was bitterly attacked by the Bishop of Paris, but the song survived, and we are richer for it.
Originelle
from the stately, beautiful resonance of Cantique de Noël, this next song shows the happy spirit of the French people at Christmas time.
Fun, fun, fun.
That's what I was saying. Nationalistic feel to some of the music. This one probably has more Spanish, but after all, Spain and France are very close neighbors, and over the years, the music has traveled back and forth across the border. Now, our last song that we attribute to France. And then we'll move on to Germany. If you have friends who have German roots, I think that the German Christmas carols have to be some of the most beautiful, although I guess I say that about every country, but the great true beauty of music in Germany. I think you'll enjoy it. It'll take about half an hour. Our last French carol is too old to really trace. I've tried, and I've done a lot of research on Adeste Fidelis, but most sources agree that it is French and goes back far enough to... It was a processional hymn that was sung on the way to midnight mass.
Oh,
so, the music of France. Now we move across the border to Germany. Yes, Christmas comes to the vast white stretches of each upward valley in Germany, too, to miles and miles of blue spruce stands and lofty pines. Early in the afternoon of Christmas Eve, Father and the children, dressed in colorful costume, walk far enough up their beloved mountain to view the castle, the woods, and the far reaches of snow. When twilight falls, hundreds of peasant marksmen, Schützen, carrying knapsacks of hand mortars, Handbowler, wend their way from their small farms to the highest mountain peaks. And here, half an hour before midnight, the sky is a sea of fire, as all guns and hand mortars are fired simultaneously. Fireworks are lighted and bonfires are kindled to protect the countryside from the evil spirits. At midnight, church bells ring, and the merry group with shouts of Fröhliche Weihnachten go down to the valley to the Christmas service. Christmas in Germany. Bells ring out across the land. Christmas in Germany. I think one of my very favorites is a carol called Es ist ein Rose entsprungen. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming from tender stem hath sprung, of Jesse's lineage coming, as men of old have sung. It came a floweret bright, amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the night. Isaiah 'twas foretold it, the rose I have in mind, with Mary we behold it, the Virgin Mother kind. To show God's love aright, she bore to men a Savior, when half spent was the night.
Thank you.
What can you say about the Christmas carols of Germany, other than they are just beautiful and somehow seem to translate into children's voices so very well? Two more to go, and then we'll cross on to Poland for a few moments there, because we know we have a large audience all through Chicagoland who do have roots in Poland. We couldn't afford to pass you by, could we? One of my personal favorites from Germany is Wiegenlied, known also as Mozart's Lullaby.
Schlafe, mein Prinzchen, schlaf ein. Es ruhen Schäfchen und Vögelein. Garten und Wiese verstummt. Auch nicht ein Mädchen mehr summt. Luma mit silbernem Schwarz.
Now, the final German Christmas carol, and you know what it is just as well as I do. The only difference is that we'd like to use the original version of Stille Nacht. This most famous of Christmas songs has been sung all over the world in almost every possible language, and it has been generally believed that this is a folk song, although in actual fact it was composed almost a century and a half ago by one Franz Gruber, a young organist and schoolmaster, son of a poor linen weaver, who lived in Oberndorf, a salt shipping village on the Salzach River, about 12 miles from Salzburg. Gruber wrote it the day before Christmas, 1818, at the request of his friend Joseph Moore, curate of the parish, who asked him to compose a suitable melody for two solo voices with choir and the accompaniment of one guitar. The suggestion of the guitar was rather strange, but something gone wrong with the old organ of the Church of St. Nicola. It was said the mice had gnawed at its bellows. In any case, Gruber wrote the song as a sign, and it was sung that very night, Christmas Eve, with great local success. The composer and the curate sang the solo parts. The song might never have swept around the world if the following spring an organ builder had not come from Zillertal, a valley in the Tyrol, to repair the organ. There he was shown the new Christmas song and liked it so much, he took it home and introduced it to his colleagues. Eventually, it became so famous that a musician of the Berlin Court Orchestra started a search for the composer. Thereupon, the aging Franz Gruber carefully wrote down the authentic cause of the composition of the Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. With his letter, dated December the 30th, 1854, he enclosed the song in its original version, as sung on this recording by Elizabeth Schwarzkopf. This is actually the composition as it must have been heard at that first performance in Oberndorf. It's a completely different musical effect than from the over-sentimentality with which Stille Nacht is usually performed.